Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Love to hear what you think about this, because I am incensed that the U.S. population is going so quietly, so passively towards what could be, what probably will be, a grotesque escalation of the war in Syria that will kill even more people, make things even worse, and what could be a confrontation between U.S. and Russian ordnance. Let me tell you what they were carrying under those jets that were seen, I believe, from Lebanon or Syria. The Zvezda KH-350U Star is the jet-launched version of a Russian subsonic cruise anti-ship missile. The same missile can also be launched from helicopters, surface ships, and a coastal defense battery with the help of a rocket booster. It is designed to attack vessels up to 5,000 tons. Now, that's most ships. But this is from Wikipedia. This is not the most advanced Russian anti-ship missiles. This also from Wikipedia. The 3M-54K is an anti-ship variant deployed by the Russian Navy as a submarine-launched missile. It's basically, and Russian submarines are in the area right now. Its basic length is 27 feet. With a 440-pound warhead, its range is 270 to 410 miles. It is a sea skimmer with supersonic terminal speed and a flight altitude of 15 feet at its final stage. Its speed is then Mach 2.9. So, the anti-shipping variant is deployed by the Russian Navy in a surface ship with a vertically launched system and a thrust vectoring booster. Its basic length is 29 feet, and the missile can make in-flight maneuvers 147 times or more in any direction, and it will automatically follow terrain. The missile can be remotely controlled in flight. So, to go over that again, the missiles that were shown were not Russia's most advanced missiles. I imagine they were more readily available to fly around to make that gesture. And by this, Russia is saying, we may sink your ships. And the first ordnance I was referring to is subsonic, but it has also been, jiggered so that it can zip around and it can skim the sea like the second missile. It has electronics and counter-electronics in it. There's a good chance if one of those heads for a U.S. ship that is equipped with the Phalanx anti-missile system that it can shoot it down on the way to it. But that's not what happens if you shoot several of them at one ship from different directions. Then the ship is sunk. And that's the cheaper, older missile. The new missile, as I was saying, is supersonic. It flies at 15 feet above the waves, and it can change direction all at once. And with a 440-pound warhead, it also will sink a ship or a submarine if a submarine is on the surface and firing away with its Tomahawk missiles out of the vertical launch system. So the question for this weekend is, will their robot rocket bombs shoot down and or retaliate against the ships shooting our robot rocket bombs? I wish it were confined to the robots, in which case I would not care much about this. It would be like a kid's school monster robot fights, and we could keep score and award medals to the winner like in the Olympics. But this is an attempt to murder, and so it's not such fun. And if Trump and Bolton manage to blow up some Russian advisors, we could be entering into a hot war. Quoting The Guardian, one Russian politician involved in defense policy called it the most dangerous moment in U.S.-Russian relations since the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962, end quote. Now I'd like to ask you, was that presented to you in that manner as you watched coverage of it on the television or heard about it on the radio? I'm going to guess that it was not, since almost no one brings up the extent of this risk of confrontation. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Here's more. Quoting same source, the chief of staff of Russia's armed forces said last month, that Russia would shoot down incoming missiles and attack their launching platforms if a U.S. strike on Syria threatened threatened Russian military personnel. The U.S. and Russia are now closer to a direct collision between their military forces than at any time since the Cold War, said Dmitry Trenin, the head of the Carnegie Moscow Center and former Soviet military officer. He said that Monday. He said, "The only question on my mind, will Russia hit back at the U.S. when it launches strikes against Damascus?" End quote. Similar concerns of a direct clash were raised after the Khan Sheikhoun chemical attack that killed dozens of people a year ago when Trump ordered a Tomahawk missile strike against the Syrian regime's al-Shirayt air base. Russian forces did not engage U.S. Tomahawk missiles using its air defenses stationed in the region at that time, either because they would have been ineffective in repelling the attack or because they had been told to stand down. Are you okay with this upcoming escalation in bombing? Number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, or do you feel that you should just be silent? Because of these accusations that the Syrian regime has inexplicably raised international ire by, again, using chemical weapons. You may recall that the Syrian regime has been accused several times, the Assad regime has been accused several times, by the Trump and the Obama regimes of using chemical weapons, and that they have gone as far as to publicly and with international facilities destroy their chemical weapons. So, in my opinion, as I was saying before, there probably was a chemical weapons attack. It probably was small scale, and it very, very likely came from the Wahhabist militias. I won't say U.S. aligned. U.S. benefiting is more like it. They're definitely not on our side, and you wouldn't want these people in your town. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Karen is on hold.
Hello?
Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to ask you about the article. I think you said it was in the Atlantic about this.
Yes.
The Wahhabi possible attack. What? Could you give me more information?
Yes,
about that
so that's in the Atlantic. The title of the article, you can pull up theatlantic.com.
What was it again? Try it again.
The Atlantic.
Yeah, I got that.
.com. And the UN the name of the article is UN Sources Say Syrian Rebels, Not Assad, Used Sarin Gas. And that is by Adam Clark Estes.
So UN forces say you... I'm trying to write it down and it's too fast for me.
Oh, sure. Well, the easy way to do it is pull up theatlantic.com, go to their search bar and put in Syria, and you'll find that in the list of articles, I'm sure.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Bye.
By the number to call, 503-231-8187. And I'll go to the next caller. Linda is on the air.
Hi. Hi, Teresa. Thank you for your show. And probably the most important subject is what you're talking about right now, the potential for war in Syria. But I'm still really concerned about that insect die-off. And I was wondering if you could tell me, what was the article you were reading us about that?
Actually, I don't have that in front of me.
Okay.
And so, the phrases that I recall are, let's see, it was about the biomass. I would say use a search bar in the news, like Google News or something, and look up insect biomass.
Okay.
And,
okay, great.
Insect decline. Right. Insect decline would probably do it.
Insect decline. Okay, great. Thank you. Because I really have been noticing how it's really very just dark when you start walking. I walk a dog, and I started looking carefully for insects, and I can't tell you how few there are, including even just simple flies or a bee or anything. And with so many things in bloom, to not have any bees, that's concerning.
I suppose so. It's a little cold for bees, but, you know, that's problematic.
But on
too.
Those warm days, we used to have plumes of bugs, including some bees would come out. Sometimes even the ones from the ground early. And we've had several different days where we've had that super warm, you know, compared to the rest of the days. And usually they would be, I guess, hatching, I'd say. In the
I really think you're right. On warm days with bushes that are blooming heavily, I'm used to hearing that buzz of bees, and sadly you can go up to those bushes and hear nothing right now.
Yeah, I walked past one that I usually would have to, you know, like walk out around the off the curb because I'm allergic to bees, and so I try to not walk through bushes that have a ton. And I found myself starting to walk out of the way, and then I looked closely, and there wasn't one bug on those flowers. It's
scary. And speaking of chemical warfare, I mean, that's what we've done to them.
Yeah, it's very scary to me, along with the threat. And I wanted to say about the threat of the Syrian war, I think it's entirely linked to Trump's fears about what's coming out from the Mueller investigation, because, you know, and them raiding his personal attorney. I think his need for a major long-term distraction is big.
Oh, yeah, and it's getting worse with the rumors of a love child coming out in the news today.
Oh, I hadn't even heard that one. Well, he didn't use condoms, according to Stormy Daniels, so there you go. Anyway, thank you for the show, and thanks for the information.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Number call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and I have been talking about the alleged chemical attack and the article in The Atlantic quoting UN personnel saying they believe that the rebels, once again, this is something that's suppressed in the U.S. This has come out before. These previous chemical attacks were evidently done by rebels, and that's been effectively suppressed in the U.S. news. It's either been glossed over. The way the news is reported, if you look at what you think you know about the chemical attack, what you've seen is people reacting to a chemical attack. You've seen dead bodies, and they look like they've been attacked by chemicals. I think they probably were, but where did that video come from? You don't have any way of assessing that. The video came out of rebel-held territory. It was sent to the World Health Organization, which is part of the UN. So the way it's reported is the World Health Organization says, and the UN says, but they don't. If you really look, the World Health Organization has information that it has not been able to verify of a chemical weapons attack. And again, I say there probably was a chemical weapons attack. It's probably small scale, and it probably came from the people who benefit most from that, which would be the rebels. And there is an article in The Atlantic which addresses that very directly, with UN personnel saying they think it was the rebels who did this. So I'll go to the next caller. And Daniel, you're on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment quickly on the announcement by Paul Ryan that he will not seek re-election. Just pointing out the obvious that when they say that they won't continue in Washington because they want to be with their family, that's what they all say. It's just code. It's that he was away from his family. That was understood when he took the job.
Well,
so
sure.
It certainly has nothing to do with wanting to be with his family. And I'd like to point out that, you know, the religious right has aligned themselves with Trump, even though clearly his personal habits and many of his policies are not consistent with the religious right values, Christian values. And they, as far as I can see, they just wanted to be on the side that's winning, except that Trump's not winning anymore, especially after the raid on his attorney's office.
I think you're right, and go ahead.
No, please. Well, is it the case that impeachment is handled by the House of Representatives, and then there's a possibility of impeaching Trump if the next election goes majority Democratic in the House?
Let's see. Impeachment. Now that you ask me, I'm not absolutely certain. I thought that was in the Senate. In Congress, in any event, the Republican majority is preventing that at the moment. Although, I would say that Ryan is quitting for the same reason that Boehner quit, that it is impossible to deal with this raging, incompetent narcissist and his dumb ideas, and it is humiliating to do so, and imagine that it is degrading his experience of life, and he wants to get the hell out of there. Who can blame him? So, and he wouldn't be the first Republican to indicate that it is demoralizing to deal with Trump.
Well, in our family, we think that the Me Too movement and combined with the students against gun violence are significant trends that could lead to a shift in the House of Representatives, and we certainly hope for that.
Here's hoping. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right, the number to call, 503-231-8187, and Kurt is on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of really good points. I'm glad that we're talking about all this world news that nobody else wants to talk about, at least in this detail. Just on the last comment on the caller, I think that Paul Ryan is kind of a weaselly guy, and he sees that there is a sinking ship, and so he's jumping overboard. I never liked any of his policies that he ever put. I mean, he's the only kid that came out of college saying, I wanted bankrupt Social Security. And other people were trying to get regular jobs and do some altruistic work. He just really wanted to, I don't know, bankrupt the country. It seemed like that was his agenda even before Trump. But I think he sees that he would be defeated humiliatingly, just like a lot of the other Republicans have been so far in some of those special elections. But it is kind of scary to see that the front runner in Wisconsin is another one of these far right, David Duke loving,
rabid racist.
Absolutely, to be nice. And so it is kind of scary that they're finding these other wackos to replace him, and hopefully the country is awoke enough with all this turbulence to see that that's not the way we should go, and we should find some reasonable, logical people to lead our country instead of all of these nut jobs. But on the Syria front, it is kind of scary to think that there's any sort of invisible hand coming from the war machine that is the United States wanting to be in a war, putting up some false information, thinking that it's this person when really it's the other person, when really it's probably America that bombed it themselves so they can go to war with themselves and war with sanity just to get some more money into the greedy war machine.
It's just inductive logic at this point. We're seeing the same personnel, namely John Bolton, who was in under the Bush administration and who fulminated against Iraq as a casus belli that they used chemical weapons, which was horrible, certainly. And Iraq did, with U.S. weaponry and support, use chemical weapons against its own citizens.
Absolutely.
So here comes John Bolton. The first day he's in office, oh, look at that, there's a poison gas attack in Syria. And foreign policy says, oh, now this time it has to be a much bigger response or we're just not credible.
It seems like, the deductive reasoning would definitely say that it's very clear that it's a smoke and mirror kind of trick to get us thinking about something else. I mean, that's the only move that they have in their hand is to throw up some smoke and mirrors, and there's no bigger cloud of smoke than a chemical bomb. And it's just really sad to think that a human being would think that way in order to get their own agenda or, you know, support the people who are giving them money and by starting a war that will kill thousands, 10,000, however many people.
Or which could escalate, certainly if U.S. ships are sunk by Russian
orders. Absolutely, and then you're risking nuclear holocaust. So it seems like it's there's some pretty high stakes, and it's really sad that someone would do that. And no one's saying Assad's a nice guy. I don't think anyone is saying that he's a really great leader and he treats his citizens nicely.
Oh, no, the U.S. knows exactly what a monster he is because we used to send our people to him to be tortured.
Sure, absolutely. And, I mean, it's just astounding the amount of U.S.-backed rebels that have ended up being against the United States in the end after we've given them millions of dollars in rocket launchers and guns and ammo and everything like that. But
which is
really
also repeated. It's like Hekmatyar all over again. Hey, thanks very much for your comments.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
I do have some other people waiting, so I'll go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. The topic is the upcoming escalation of the war with Syria, the new information that the UN believes that the rebels are the ones who launched a gas attack. And as I was saying, going to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Francis.
Hi, Francis.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Yourself?
All right, I'm fine. You imagine two gangsters who decide they need to make some more money, and the way they make money is to sell war machines. Let's fabricate another conflict so we can do this and make some more money. And that's what I see now. I see this as a convoluted thing. But even if the gas attacks were real, how is it that we protect citizens who are at risk of being attacked that way by bombing them? That's not logical. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I guess it doesn't have to be if it's repeated enough.
For people to continue to accept that narrative, that that's the only way to address anything, is by dropping bombs. This isn't the first time the United States has dropped bombs in Syria. I don't know if we're fooling ourselves, but it's been going on for quite some time. And it's just time for us to really acknowledge, like your last caller did, that this is about money and making money off of war and conflict. And if we want to talk about people being tortured, there are people in this country right now living in solitary confinement, and they've been living there for days and years on end. And if we don't think that's torture, then we've got to think about what this country really stands for, because we have some serious issues going on right here that we need to address. We don't need to be the moral judge of other countries at this point.
Well, it does seem a bit hypocritical.
We need to judge ourselves, and right now we're not setting a very good example.
Well,
we're
thank you.
We're executing people in the street, unarmed people. I mean, who gets to do that? And Trump doesn't get the blame for that.
And I think there is definitely a connection. I think it's the attitude that we, as a society, have been encouraged to take, that we are in opposition to each other, we are in opposition to the rest of the world, and that the appropriate way to move forward with our opposition is murderous.
And there's another way to make money. We need to figure out a way where we can just flip the switch and the money isn't made by conflict and war. It's made some other way, because apparently corporations take precedent over people.
Oh, yeah, and Raytheon's going to make bank on hundreds of Tomahawk cruise missiles being used and been replaced.
Let's find another way for them to make money. Of course, it has to be instantaneously so they wouldn't lose any short-term profits.
Well, thanks very much
for
your call.
You take care. Enjoy.
You too. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187. Chief of General Staff of the Russian Armed Forces, Valery Gerasimov, said that in case of threat to the lives of our servicemen, the Russian military armed forces will take response measures against both the rockets and the platforms from which they're fired, end quote. And that is a direct threat to sink the ships that are going to be involved in this weekend's bombing campaign. Are you okay with this? Do you intend to protest? Call in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, and Dennis is on the air.
Hi. Teresa, I know this is off subject, but I heard a little bit about a Japanese earthquake earlier this week. I was wondering if you'd already talked about that or anything.
I've not talked about it. I'll check that out. And that's about all I can say about that right now.
It was like a 6.1, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, it brings up the fact that Japan is well prepared for earthquakes generally. Obviously, the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plants were not sufficiently prepared for what hit them. But generally speaking, when a 6.1 hits a Japanese city, their major buildings mounted on springs will take it pretty well. 6.1 in downtown Portland would be devastating. And I'll go to the next caller, and thank you very much for your call. 503-231-8187 and the number to call. And Jerry is on the air.
Yes, hi. Gary, and I appreciate your show. I listen to it whenever I can. I just wanted to add to the chorus that this is all about, you know, going to war is all about making money for the war machine.
All about making money. The signal is pretty faint at this point. I think I can hear you with my headphones on. I'm not sure that the radio audience can. Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving. I can't remember who the, I think it was Smedley Butler, who was a Marine Corps general years ago, who wrote a book that said War is a Racket. And, you know, it's been this way, it's been acknowledged for the last 100 years that, you know, going to war is all about making profit for a small...
And when he wrote that in the 30s, racket meant organized crime. It's not used as much that way now. But that's basically what he was saying about war, is that it was organized crime.
Well, it is. It is. It's just like Wall Street is nothing but organized crime these days. And that's not talked about. So anyway, I appreciate your show. It's timely. You always have something interesting to say. And as do your callers. So anyway, my signal week, I'll get up to you. But anyway, I just wanted to put my two cents in.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Do be careful. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Ken is on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I have two comments. One is, I saw recently on the Real News Network that Phyllis Menace of the Internet was interviewed, and she said that when John Bolton was the ambassador, America's UN ambassador, that there was going to be a ceasefire declared between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. And as soon as John Bolton heard this, he called up either the Israeli UN ambassador or the Israeli ambassador to the United States, I don't know which, a gentleman by the name of Gillerman, and he, according to Phil Spanis, he says to the ambassador, "Look, I have to talk to you right away, and he can't be at my office or your office, so I'm going to come over to your house," which he did in New York, and he said to this ambassador Gillerman, "Look, the United States is going to go along with the proposed ceasefire. And I want you to call the president of Israel right now and tell him to call the president of the United States to stop this." So the Israeli ambassador says, "It's 3 o'clock in the morning." Bolton says to him, "Do it."
What's the source for that? I mean, that is credible because that's the way Bolton has consistently acted for decades now. But what's the source?
You'll have to go to the Real News Network and listen to Phyllis Bennis.
Okay, Real News Network.
She says, as a matter of fact, she says that this ambassador, years later, was interviewed, and he recounts this incident later on. So if you first find out who the ambassador was and then track down... Oh, and the source was in Hebrew, not English. So, but evidently Phyllis was able to get a translation or whatever.
Interesting.
So, and my other point I'd like to make is that, and I'm terrified, but this terrifies me, this icing on the terrified cake, is that the reason that the Christians, everyone says, well, how can they support Trump? Because he violates all their precepts, concepts, or whatever. Well, the fact, I think, is what's happening is that those who are, I believe they're called millenarians, who believe there's going to be a tribulation and so on and so forth, that all the Jews are going to gather in Israel, these are people who are interpreting current events as being part of the tribulation prior to this so-called apocalypse. And therefore, they're with it because it's bringing on, you know, the so-called apocalypse, et cetera, et cetera. So for whatever that's worth, you know.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that information.
Well, thank you for the show.
All right. Number to call is 503-231-8187. Here is WSWS.org's take on the planned killings. On Wednesday, President Donald Trump threatened a major new escalation of the seven-year-old U.S. war for regime change in Syria, declaring in a tweet, quote, "Russia vows to shut down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming nice and new and smart," end quote. Trump's threat expresses the criminality of the U.S.-led campaign against Syria, and the President of the United States is about to launch an unprovoked war of aggression. The U.S. and European governments lie without restraint to justify their predatory war aims, and the most incredible statements go unchallenged by the press. The claims by the United States that its planned attack on Syria is a response to a chemical weapons attack by the Assad regime on April 7th are without any independent substantiation. The only people claiming to have witnessed the attack are U.S.-backed proxy forces in Syria. The United States' humanitarian pretenses do not stand up to any serious scrutiny. The massacres of unarmed Palestinian demonstrators in Gaza by the Israeli army have been supported by the United States and virtually ignored in the Western media. Saudi Arabia, the United States' key Arab ally in the Middle East, is carrying out a genocidal war in Yemen. The rampage of the United States through the Middle East has destroyed entire societies. Again, that is from WSWS.org, the Trotskyist website, which I find quite useful and usually quite well done. And so I'm quoting their statements about Syria. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. As I was saying earlier, The Atlantic has a report that UN personnel close to the situation in Syria are now saying that it is evident to them that it is, as WSWS.org was saying, as the Trotskyists were saying, it is U.S.-backed proxy forces in Syria that use the chemical weapons. Once again, this is the pattern. That information has not been accepted in the United States, has been scarcely reported at all, and certainly not accepted because it goes against the narrative of U.S. innocence and justified warfare. But that is most likely the fact. And in any event, there is no proof of the claim as Macron claims, and as the U.S. press strongly implies, that Assad did it. And yet, this war, this threatened greater war, moves forward. When it comes to Russian response, I'd like to comment that supposing the Russians did sink U.S. submarines and ships, and if that then escalated into a strike on Russia, the escalation would occur so quickly that it would be unlikely that there would be any press coverage. And if there were, it would make little difference, since ICBMs can be launched across the world over a period of 30 minutes, please remember that, and ballistic missiles from submarines can be launched even quicker, so that the, dozen or so 50 kiloton bombs that would rain on our fair city, just like every major city in the United States, would exterminate us. It's not a bomb. It's not a question of being hit by a bomb. You're not going to survive this. If you did have notice, if you did believe that the ICBMs were coming, probably the best thing to do would be to stand in an open area and hope for instantaneous incineration. Because if you're outside the circular destructive area, then you will die more slowly from the radiation, and that's grotesque, or from the heat or the blast. So this is what is being risked, and this is what is not being talked about in the corporate-owned news media. This is why you have community radio, and it is my hope that by bringing out the truth about this situation, more resistance, more awareness, and therefore more resistance can be brought against the escalation of the war in Syria, and the fact that a massive attack, as Foreign Affairs magazine implies must be done, would be likely to have some Russian casualties, deconfliction notices aside. Returning to the article in WSWS.org, Aside from the absence of evidence, no credible explanation has been given as to why the Assad regime would carry out a chemical weapons attack just as it was on the verge of driving out the Al-Qaeda-linked insurgents funded by the U.S. and its allies. But there are plenty of reasons why the United States would instruct its proxies to either stage or fabricate such an incident. Just 2 days before the alleged attack in Douma, a New York Times editorial complained that Trump was letting Russia take the lead in Syria and allowing Iran to gain a foothold in the city, in the country, excuse me. The Times asked, how does that serve American interests? Just 1 hour after Trump's Wednesday morning Twitter outburst, he admitted in a subsequent tweet that the campaign against Russia is being driven by political forces in Washington. Quoting, much of the bad blood with Russia is caused by the fake and corrupt Russia investigation headed up by all Democrat loyalists or people that work for Obama, end quote. And that's a Trump tweet. Behind the increasingly bitter sectarian warfare gripping Washington lie substantial divisions over foreign policy centered on the conflict in Syria, which have been simmering for years. That's from WSWS.org. And go to the caller now. Frank, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Teresa. Thank you for your excellent program.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wonder if you could speak in the brief time you have about alternatives to war action. What are the most expeditious alternatives available to us that are obviously not being discussed by those in command? Thank you.
Well, we could take up gardening. In terms of alternatives, the alternative is to not engage, not to exacerbate the conflict in Syria, to withdraw U.S. arms entirely from that area. And I would like to see a different society that is not built on the worship of war. And that would be almost incomprehensibly different. We might not even call it American because that brand is so militaristic. Really, it's time to withdraw. It's time to beat those swords into plowshares and to address the global conflict that is not being effectively addressed, that is being actively ignored and obscured by the Trump administration, and that is the global climate conflict, something that is affecting all of us right now. I was talking earlier about the absence of the insects. Certainly the climate change is a part of that, and last year in Portland it was true, and imagine also this year at times, it was too cold for the insects to get a good start on the season, and that killed off a great many birds. There are so many end effects. The ecosystems are collapsing because of climate change. Well, I've run out of time. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia and via the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO is celebrating 50 years of broadcasting and the many people who are part of KBOO's history.
I came down to the Salmon Street Studios, where the federal courthouse is, the first official home of KBOO.
Came into this rather bizarre situation where we were in the basement of an attorney's office.
And at that meeting, he said, well, I'm just going to let you know that when your lease is up in about 18 months, we will not renew your lease. We will extend it for up to 6 months at double the rent.
When I was hired, they said, we want to be on the air by the end of July. I went, whoa, how much money do we have to pull this off? And they said, we got $11,000. How are we going to build this facility with $11,000?
To hear the stories of people who helped make KBOO what it is today, go to 50yearsofkboo.fm and click on KBOO Stories Project.